is a congregation supposed to deal with sin in the church? Well, we've already looked at the fact that elders have an enormous responsibility in this matter. Elders are to take the lead, and that means as they manage the flock, as they lead the flock, that they're going to have to deal with sin. They're going to have to deal with people problems and troubles in the church. They cannot ignore them and do their duty. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 17, that elders will give an account to God for how that they have led the flock of God. In this lesson, we're going to look at preachers, because preachers play a part in this matter. Preachers have an important duty, because preachers are to preach the Bible. And as they preach the Bible and teach the Word of God, they're going to have to deal with sin if they're faithful to the Bible. If they preach the Word, then they're going to deal with sin, and they're going to deal with people problems and troubles in the church. Now, preachers, again, are not the only disciplinarians in the church. I think sometimes that because preachers are up before the group, preaching the Word of God so often, that people have in mind that the only disciplinarian in the church is the preacher, and that he's the one that, in a sense, bears the rod. But actually, the elders of the church are the leaders as far as discipline in the congregation is concerned. So oftentimes, there's a misperception in churches where you have a full-time preacher, and people tend to look at the preacher as being the leader, the boss, the disciplinarian. And that's just not the Bible teaching. That is not the Bible model that we see in the New Testament. However, preachers do have a duty, and we're going to talk about that today. If preachers would do their duty, if preachers would address sin the way that the Bible says they're to address sin, there would be far fewer problems in churches. So let's get right to our scriptures today, and we're going to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, a famous passage, a well-known passage on the duty of gospel preachers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, "Preach the word. And if a man preaches the word, he cannot avoid preaching on sin." Now, that's not going to be the only thing that he talks about. He's not going to get up in every sermon and from beginning to end do nothing but condemn sin, because there's much more to it than that. But on the other hand, he cannot do his duty without preaching against sin and warning people about its consequences. It just can't be done. There's too much in the Bible that addresses sin. As you read through the Old Testament, as you read through the New Testament, you cannot avoid the fact that the Bible deals with the biggest problem and the greatest danger to mankind. And that is the damnation that sin brings to our lives. So preachers are to address that. And here are the words that Paul used to describe what a preacher is to do. He is to preach the word. He is to be instant, in season, and out of season. He is to be ready to preach the word, and he is to be faithful in preaching the word of God, whether it is in season or out of season, whether it's popular or not, whether people like it or whether they don't like it, whether it's drawing crowds or whether it's not drawing crowds. You see, what some churches do is to adjust their approach. And if the preacher is preaching the Bible and it's not drawing the crowds like they want, then they say, well, we're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to back off of preaching on some of these topics that you preach on because people are not coming like we'd like for them to come. So instead of letting the Bible determine what they are going to do and what they're going to teach, they let the crowds determine and decide for them what that church is going to do and what it's going to preach. Now, that happens too many times today, and if we're going to follow the Bible, then we'll simply teach the word and let the numbers deal with themselves and decide for themselves. You never find Jesus talking like some churches do today. You never find Jesus saying, well, I wonder what I need to preach on here, and I wonder what I might need to avoid, because we've got to make sure that we get a certain number of people to follow me. He went ahead and he just preached all that God wanted him to preach, and he let the people decide whether they were going to follow him or not. And the same thing is true with the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, John, and all the others in the New Testament. They were more concerned about pleasing God than they were about pleasing men. Now notice that Paul says to Timothy that as he preaches the word, he is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now let's look at these words. The word reprove means to tell somebody that he is wrong. It means to convict somebody of his sins. It means to prove or to show that somebody has done something or believes something that is wrong. The word rebuke is a more severe word than that. Not only does it mean that you're correcting somebody, not only does it mean that you're showing that the person has done something wrong, but you're actually getting on to the person. And a rebuke is a more severe form of that correction. Now, Paul says to Timothy, this is what you're to do when you preach. The word exhort means to encourage. The word exhort means to incite. It means to admonish people, to urge them to do what they're supposed to be doing. So when people talk about a preacher's tone, sometimes people say, well, why does a preacher use that tone of voice? Why does a preacher sound so urgent about this? And why does it sound sometimes like he's getting on to people? Well, if he's doing what God tells him to do, that's exactly what he'll be doing. And if he's not doing that, then he's not preaching the gospel. If he's talking about everything else under the sun besides the Bible for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, then he's not preaching the word and he's not pleasing God. And if all he does is to tell people how great they are and how good they are and make them feel good at any cost without exposing their sin, without reminding them of their duty to repent of sin, then he has disobeyed what the Bible says here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says that he is to preach the word, that he is to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And that has an effect in a local congregation. If a local congregation does not receive this kind of preaching, then people are going to be more apt to think that they can do anything that they want to do. People are going to be more apt to fall into sin because they're not being warned, because they're not being admonished, because their conscience is not being kept pure and kept sensitive to the Word of God. When people are not challenged by the preaching of God's Word, they tend to grow soft, they tend to grow dull in their spirituality, and they tend to become hardened and disinterested, and their zeal dies out. But when the gospel is preached in a congregation, when the Bible is taught to that church, it keeps them spiritually sharp. It keeps them alert to the temptations of the devil. It keeps them from being hardened in their heart, and it keeps their consciences soft. Now, what Paul goes on to say in verse 3 is a warning. He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So he says, not everybody wants to hear the word. There are going to be people, he says, who will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to listen to the Bible. They want to listen to something else. And so they find them preachers and teachers who tell them what they want to hear. The Bible says they have itching ears. In other words, they want to be complimented. They want to be flattered. And so they tell people what they're wanting to hear to begin with instead of telling them the truth. So they become popular. Instead of pleasing God, they please men. Now let's turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And after Paul tells Titus what he is to teach in the congregation and the responsibilities in that congregation, and I want you to notice, especially in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, that he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now notice what he says in verse 15. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now Paul said, Titus, you need to teach these things. What things? Well, the things that he's been going over in Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 2, and the things, of course, that he will talk about in Titus chapter 3. One of which is in verse 12, where he says that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, folks, that means that a preacher doing what Paul says to Titus here in Titus 2 verse 15 is going to have to warn against ungodliness. He's going to have to mention it. He's going to have to talk about the different forms of it. He's going to have to expose it. And he's going to have to warn the people about ungodliness and worldly lust. He's going to have to warn the people about drinking, about cussing, about sexual immorality, about lying and stealing and greed, and all these sins of the flesh that are so common in our age. A preacher is going to have to deal with these things. Now again, that's not the only work of a preacher. That's not all that he's to preach on. But what we're finding in our day and age is that there has been a move away from this kind of preaching. And it's rare to find preachers anywhere that will address these things. And yet, the Bible says that it must be done. Now again, we're talking about the role of preaching in dealing with sin and with problems in the church. So a preacher is not a faithful preacher if he refuses to preach on sin. The Bible talks about some who by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, Romans 16, verse 18. In Isaiah 30, verses 9 and 10, the Bible talks about the people who wanted preachers to speak smooth things, not right things. They didn't want the Word of God. They wanted a smooth message. Well, that kind of preaching will get a preacher a bigger crowd, but it will get him in trouble with the God of heaven in the judgment. In James 3, verse 1, the Bible says that preachers and teachers will receive the stricter and the more severe judgment in the end. A preacher has to be loyal to God first and foremost. He has to be loyal to God. He has to be loyal to the Lord more than anybody in the congregation, more than his own family, more than his own personal preferences and opinions and desires. His obligation is to preach the Word. And a preacher cannot please men and please God at the same time. Paul said, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Now we might add here that a preacher cannot and should not try to settle every single problem in the church. There are some people that will use a preacher. They may have a problem with some other member in the church. And what they should do is to go to that member and try to settle that problem. But instead, they run to the preacher and they tell the preacher about it and try to get the preacher on their side so that he'll get up in the pulpit and he'll blast whoever that member is, when actually what the Bible says is that if two people have a problem like that, they ought to try to sit down and work it out themselves. And that will bring us to the next passage that we're going to look at, Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, where Jesus talks about resolving conflict in the body of Jesus Christ. A church cannot be what it should be without strong preaching. And preaching cannot be strong unless it deals with sin.